back and excited to topple the Whimsical Collector. So, Dr. Barkey, let's get it started.
Right. Well, we ended up talking a little about technology there because you were talking about augmented reality with one of your pieces. So tell us about technology in the show a little bit, because you're definitely using it in interesting ways with three-dimensional and two-dimensional things. You brought in a kind of various layers of technology that you're applying to the arts.
So one of my colleagues described me the other day, and she says, you know, you're a collector, but you also collect techniques and information and processes. And I said, you know, you're right. And so in an effort to stay current, I'm very much an analog person, but in an effort to stay current, I experiment with, and I encourage my students also, experiment with new technology. Augmented reality has been around for a while, but one of the things that I use in this particular space at the NAGB is augmented reality, where you can superimpose an image on top of one of the works. And so, one, I'm hoping that a lot of kids come through the show. It excites them, gets them interested in art. It's the language that they speak. And I'm very interested in it. The imposing of layering, if you look at the work.
It's like Snapchat.
Censored. Yeah, exactly. There's lots and lots of layering. And so this is just another way to layer. I can't say that I'm great at it, but I encourage technology, you know.
I think that you are.
I think part of it also is that one thing that Kendra likes to engage when making work is to engage all the sensory modes. Touch, see, feel, hair. So all of that is kind of like a part of the work that she makes. And so when the work is three-dimensional, it still is going to have some aspect where it's kind of interactive with the person or who's in the space viewing the work. So, yeah.
Right. Can you tell us more about the interactivity? Because there's several pieces that people actually are supposed to touch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And which, you know, usually museums, if there's a rope you don't stay three feet away. But you're kind of taking the opposite approach.
Yeah, definitely. So Tickle Pink is one of those works that is interactive. So there will be something that you will turn, and then you will be able to hear, like she was saying, her daughter's laugh or say again, again. In there, so that'll be interesting for people to experience. There will be a candy machine that you use. It actually works, and you can get some Mortimer's mints from. You can put in a quarter and get the mint from there. Anything else?
Melody
Kendra?
In the Men's Room.
Yeah,
this one Melody in the Men's Room is a musical piece that you can turn and this that was the most experimental work, but yet I discovered this reverberation of sound that actually filled the space. So that was exciting.
So the china plates helped to amplify it, or
no? It's a metal bar,
okay.
And there's a music box attached to one end. When you turn it, the sound actually travels through the bar and it fills the room.
Mm-hmm.
So it acts as a speaker.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so that was a great discovery, in making it.
It's actually quite beautiful, too.
Yeah.
Considering it, I'm not going to spoil it. I refuse to spoil it, but it is just, it's so unexpected for it to be so beautiful yet delicate looking. But the sound, it's you start looking exactly. Like, where does it come
where it's coming from?
Yeah.
I'm not going to spoil it, but let me tell people, we have things hanging from the ceiling. We have things coming out of the wall. We have things, you know, they're just, when you walk in, it's just the space itself is really interesting to navigate around. So it's a fascinating exhibition.
One of the things that you talk about the space, one of the things that's really, really important to me is that the space becomes an installation and not just, you know, individual works of art.
Yeah.
So that was one of the things. Avia was great with picking all the colors for the wall. They're really bold, yet it creates this environment. So it becomes installation art, which by definition is when the space becomes equally as important to the work itself.
Yeah.
And then NGB is kind of a perfect location for that because it's got so many small, interesting spaces for a sculptor to work with.
And it's a part of the story that Kendra's telling, kind of like I'm talking about her memories of the Bahamas and kind of thinking about the molding in the space and all of those kind of like reflected inside the work. Like even like when she chooses shutters to make some to build on, to have as kind of like the prints or itself, it kind of lends itself to the architecture of the building itself as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, you talked, Avria talked a little bit about the sensories. In my teaching, I'm finding that that's really important because kids respond to that. There's a piece that's in the acquisition of the Central Bank of the Bahamas and it scratched bananas in this cabinet. And I know when you really see it, I'm hoping that everybody remembers that moment when they scratched their name in the cabinet drawer, on a chair, you know, everyone has that moment. But beyond that, it's a scratched image of bananas, but there's a smell. I actually sprayed a banana smell, so it has a smell, and some people get it and some people don't. It's probably worn off by now, but that's important, that those sensory things, like you're thinking, did I really smell that or did I not really smell that?
Yeah, I'm sure.
And then pecking order, actually, you can kind of toss the thingamajig and you see the heads bobble as well. From the chickens.
So this is definitely a show for everyone of every age, for families, friends, you know, kids, to really come out and be in awe of, you know, art that's touch, you know, that's not only beautiful, complex, you know, but definitely something that you can engage in. This is just I'm floored, really. I can't express to the audience just how beautiful the show is, these works are.
I'm humbled by this opportunity. What I really want to say is, there was a lady, I was eating lunch while we were installing the other day, there was a lady back at the gallery, she was doing some of her own work on Zoom or something like that. But what I want to say is, I want to encourage you to come to the space. It's a great family space. I imagine seeing a family having lunch there, then going in and looking at the work. So I want us to think about it, not only just coming to the show and walking in, but it's a space. There's the sculpture garden. It's a beautiful space, and again, beautiful opportunity.
We are lucky, though, because, you know, after Hurricane Dorian, the space really transitioned into a mental health space.
Yeah.
And at that time, the museum removed the entrance fee. And since then, Alive has donated free Wi-Fi to the art park. Mm-hmm. So we do encourage students to come. We do have a library. You can go to our website, www.nagb.org.bs. You can schedule books. We have tons of seating. We have beautiful floral walks. And yes, it's all complimentary to your show. It is a really, it's a great way to spend the afternoon, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. I want to go back to your family a minute, because there's an important piece there. In Dawn Davies' recently published anthology, Love and Responsibility 2, she features one work of yours on a full page titled McAllen. And you wrote a short essay to go with it. Can you share with the audience the inspiration for McAllen and how the subject of the painting translates into the colors, composition, and materials of that work?
So McAllen. McAllen is a tribute to my brother Keith McAllen Hamilton. He loved his middle name. He thought it, and he used it as his sort of signature. I've since carried it on to the McAllen Project. I'll talk a little bit about that. But anyway, he was my older brother. I attribute the fact that going to college, being gutsy enough to study art, to him, because if it wasn't for him, you know, I'd be in business or something, right? Nothing wrong with it. but anyway, Keith was an interior designer, larger than life person, and at the age of 51, he died in a car accident. Too gone too soon. Mm-hmm. But he was an inspiration for my artwork. He was a huge fan of my work and encouraged me. We had great conversations. We had a great relationship. And so this work is an augmented piece. It's in the collection of Dawn Davies. And it has this sort of augmented reality piece of clothes flapping in the wind. The colors are very bright, vibrant. Keith was a vibrant personality. And so I tried to, in creating this specifically as a tribute to him, capture a bit of who he was.
That's very powerful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very powerful. Do you have any words of advice for young emergent artists? And how should they be approaching the development of their own style and aesthetic, finding their own voice, so to speak?
I wouldn't worry about style so soon. I don't worry about it at this stage in my career. What I would say for young artists is, like anything, like Michael Jordan was to basketball, like LeBron James is to basketball, Serena Williams, all the great sports athletes, all the great musicians. If you look at what they do, they never stop. You have to do it every single day. You have to put some time in. I'm not saying going to the piano every day, but think about it, you know? I am in my studio, unfortunately, every day. I'm at a level, level 11. But even when I'm not in my studio, I'm doing, read.
Watch a video. That's about art.
Yeah. Video, conversations.
Mm-hmm. Right, you're immersed in it.
Yes, be immersed in it, completely immersed in it. I think to be good at it or successful at it, you have to put, you have to give it your all. And if you don't, you won't.
Well, what are the fundamental pieces of knowledge that an artist must have to grow, aside from having the thirst of like to acquire knowledge? Is there anything else that they need?
Well, I think they need to experience a lot of different medium, and the one that you find yourself doing 24/7 is the, probably the one that you probably should focus on.
It'll find you.
Yeah, it'll find you. Go ahead.
One thing I do want to say that's so impressive, there are so many opportunities for young adults or, you know, old adults to immerse themselves in art here. There's workshops. There's The Current. There's Cab. There's Turn. There's Diagla. There's Albany. There's Antonius Roberts' ICE project, the National Art Gallery. There's so many opportunities here for you to immerse yourself in the arts at low cost or no cost, right? Young and old. I think I'm so impressed by the level of the workshops. There's so much, young talent here. And we're bursting at the seams. And so there's no reason why you couldn't or shouldn't. I know the summer months coming up. Take an art camp. There's UB. I know, I'm not sure if you have it this year, but UB usually has this summer immersion program. Take advantage of those moments and opportunity, and the opportunity to study with other great artists, Bahamian artists. There's some great ones.
Yeah, that's true. You know, it's interesting. You at the show is a pinnacle in a way. You have this retrospective, and for a young artist looking at you now and seeing the success, it can be a little bit misleading, because I think along the road to success, I'm guessing there were many challenges. And so I'm wondering if you could share a few of those challenges to kind of give people a reality check on what it takes to get to this point.
First of all, even though I come from this sort of art background in my family, I was sort of discouraged at first from studying art, because it's not the way to make a good living, right? I don't care. So I did it anyway, defiant. That was the biggest challenge, but my family quickly got over that because they understand the passion. Secondly, the biggest challenge I had was I had some medical issues, and that you don't want to go in the studio. You don't want to work, but you have to push yourself. Even though I wasn't going in the studio, I was watching art video and films on artists. I was, you know, having conversations. And so there's other ways to do it. So it may not be the same pace, but you can still immerse yourself in it and push through the challenges. Yeah, those have been my biggest challenges.
Wow. It's really interesting to hear that. And for young artists also to hear about that the path is not always easy, that one has to push through whatever kind of life throws at you to pursue that passion of creating art and so on.
One of the other things I want to also add is that not every piece that you make is great.
No.
Looking at the show, there's approximately 80 pieces, I would say, in the show. And those are 80 pieces from maybe 300 pieces. I just want to say, and not every piece in that show, by my standards, they're great. They're history. But you have to push through it. Tickle Pink, I struggled with sculpting my daughter's head. And that's probably the fourth iteration of that head, right? Mm-hmm. So there are challenges, but you just have to push through it and grow from it. That most importantly, grow from it.
Right.
So I do have maybe a little bit of an we can go back to the China piece. Mm-hmm. So last week you would have concluded the collection of China, where you would have asked persons to submit two pieces, mm-hmm. and they would get one back
at the end of it.
So what is it that they're going to get back?
So the response that, well, I guess because the people really didn't understand what the project was actually trying to do. But the idea is that you give two plates, it's displayed on the wall, and from that, two of the same plates. And so from that installation, the viewer, a donator, would actually get a plate, and they would get it. There's a print behind it.
It turns into a Kendra Forop original.
Yeah,
that's
the
reality. You can go ahead and float that piece and put that on your wall and say, I have a Kendra Forop piece.
And the piece that you have will have the same augmenting capability, so it will augment also.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the background or the wallpaper behind the china is actually handmade paper from linen, old linen fabrics that I had, and then it's printed. Through a relief process.
That's lovely.
Yeah,
I'll be donating my plates because I would like to have a Kendra Forop original.
I'm going to donate one too. You'd have to go buy one. I don't really have a China collection, but I'm going to create one.
So if you are going to do that, I encourage you to do what I did. Go to salvage places. I'm looking for something that's like gold rims, really, odd plates.
Right.
Yeah.
Things that are distinctive in some way. Yeah,
exactly.
That's a good point that you're making.
Yeah.
But going to the South Asian Army, supporting your local charitable organizations and collecting that way.
So you're not only a hoarder, but you actually support other people, support the hoarding community.
And I recycle.
Exactly. She's encouraging us in our collection.
Right. Mm-hmm. I had one more question for you. I was listening to you talk, and I was thinking about that whole history of your work that's out there in the 80 versus 300.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you're younger, I think you don't have the perspective. You're,
right. Mm-hmm.
The latest thing you made is the best thing you made.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm curious, that's a thing I have too. I always tend to get immersed in what I'm thinking of now. Once I've done something, it kind of goes into my portfolio and I don't think about it anymore. How do you find yourself dealing with that? Do you also think of your latest work as like what you're really obsessed with? Or do you kind of value the old stuff too?
You know, just reflecting on the space and reflecting on the work, there are pieces that I value, like Tickle Pink.
Mm-hmm.
It is funny and it's infectious, but the moment when I made it, there's a lot of things that inform how I feel about it. The moment that I made it, the materials that I used when I made it, and the sort of analog jerry-rigging way I made it is exciting to me, and I still look back at that, and I think that may be the piece.
That's interesting. That's like a moment of discovery for you that kind of caught that everything intersected at that moment. That piece is very important to you.
Yeah. There's also, visually, I don't know if it's exciting, but there's a piece, also Ironing Board 2, that's in the space, and it's it's a piece that I won a big award for that, Sculpture Magazine, as a student. But it's that piece when I learned to step back from the work and let it be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when when you plan work, like building a building, you plan from start to finish. And this was when one of my professors said to me, step back from it. What do you see? And so I was able to draw a line sooner than I thought I would. But this was that work that I was able to push and pull from.
Mm-hmm.
That was the lesson there. And I when I put it up the other day, I thought, okay,
the memories came
back.
Well, this has been a fascinating discussion. And hear all this information from you, it really should excite people to go see the show, for one, but also to get to know you better and hear more of the background behind the work is just very interesting. Yeah. Thank you for coming to our interview. It's been
Thank you for having us.
Yes, I'm humbled by the opportunity. I mean, there's no place like home.
So the Whimsical Collector opens tomorrow at 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. This is the first time we're going to have a day opening. Mm-hmm. And this also allows for us to facilitate COVID-19 protocols and have people be leisurely through the space. We're very thankful for Caribbean Wines and Spirits, who will be on hand to make sure that, you know, our guests can have a glass of wine and, of course, some PG-13 stuff for the kids. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a very wonderful occasion. So thank you so much, Kendra. Thank you so much, Dr. Barkey and Avria. Thank you for tuning in to The Blank Canvas. We encourage you to visit the National Art Gallery. Our art park is open, you know, in the day, but, you know, the actual gallery spaces won't open until 3 p.m. tomorrow. So spend time exploring. Check out our website. We have awesome programming. Stay tuned to The Blank Canvas that airs on Guardian Talk Radio every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. on 96.9 FM.